And so I thought, okay, well, what does it mean to talk about dating as a theologian? And so I decided that I would start this question like I do lots of theological questions, like, well, what does Augustine say? So I have a slideshow for the first time in 3 or 4 years, so I don't know if this is going to work, so we'll see how it goes. Rob, do I have a slideshow that works? I may not have a slideshow for the first time in 3 years. I'm going to continue my streak. But the question of the day is, what does the 5th century Augustine have to teach us about 21st century dating? So we're going to look especially at Augustine. And I think Augustine's relevant here because Augustine thinks of all of life in terms of friendships. Our category is relationships, and I'm going to sort of like spoof on that and say it's about friendships. And Augustine thinks everything's about friendship. So life is ultimately about friendship with God, which is why Jesus says in John 15, I call you friends. This is a sort of like term of endearment. This is why friends stick closer than brothers in some sense. And secondly, there's friendship within the church, right? There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, right? Friendship within the church is fundamental. There's friendship, Augustine says, between spouses. So marriage is a specific kind of friendship. And I think Augustine would say, dating is a specific kind of friendship. And dating is a specific kind of friendship that's oriented toward the specific kind of marriage friendship, which is illustrative of and oriented toward the specific kind of church friendship, which is oriented toward and illustrative of the certain kind of divine friendship, friendship with God. You see it? It's about friendship. So my point is here, if friendship is the chain, then dating is a kind of friendship, the friendship that is oriented toward marriage. And so I wanted to sort of put this analogy out in front of you and say, what if dating was like an access road? Dating is like an access road to an interstate or a highway. And when you're on an access road, you drive differently than you would on a highway, but you're still aiming for the highway. So dating relationships are supposed to be aiming toward the highway, aiming toward marriage. Which means, I think, if you are in a dating relationship strictly because you want to get a certain kind of pleasure or entertainment out of it, and you have no intention of getting off of the highway, thank you, sir. Friendship, see, this is Augustine on friendship with God, church, spouse. All right, it's a highway. Ignore the details of this AI-generated image because they are inaccurate. But, dating is like a highway, dating is like an access road to the highway of marriage, okay? And so if you have no intention of getting on this highway, then you probably shouldn't be on the access road. Like if you have no intention of getting married, dating is not designed, access roads are not designed for you just to sort of like cruise on them and never get on the highway. Dating in that mode will hurt others and hurt you. It will be unhealthy for all parties involved. Secondly, you drive differently on an access road than you do on a highway. There are different speed limits. There are different driving styles, right? And I think this is analogous to the way that we relate to one another in a dating relationship, a dating friendship, differently than a spousal married friendship. And many of you think, well, he's talking about sex. And I am talking about sex. However, I'm not only talking about sex. You didn't giggle at all. I thought, like, I can't say sex in class and not everyone giggle. But in chapel, you don't giggle? Okay. It's because Dr. Brown is here. But I'm also talking about lots of other things. Like there's a way of a certain kind of relating in marriage that you don't drive 70 miles an hour on an access road the same way you do on the highway. So I'm thinking relationally, spiritually, practically, financially, you don't relate the same way. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's the way access roads are designed. That's the way dating is designed. Dating is designed to go from driving slowly, stopped at a stoplight, accelerating eventually until you enter the highway, and then you go 70 miles an hour. Access roads also have lots of exits. Now, we'll not talk about marriage and divorce, really, today, but I think the design of marriage is that there's not supposed to be exits. You're not supposed to. God's design originally for marriage was this lifelong road trip together. But dating has exits. And some of you, I think, feel stuck in dating relationships because you think dating is a marriage. You think you have committed yourself to this person when you shouldn't or need not think that. There are many more exits. There are many also stoplights. And as I was thinking about the way we drive on an access road, I realized, have you ever tried to follow someone, like to a restaurant? And you actually can keep up with them really well on the interstate. Like, we go on road trips and you caravan and you are together the whole time. But on an access road, like, someone hits a yellow light, someone hits a red light, and you're separated by, I don't know, 100 yards. And I think that's okay. And I think in dating, there's this kind of willingness or an acceptance to sort of like be okay with being a little bit further apart than you will be when you're married, right? Like, you don't need to go to every Christmas. You don't need to go home to meet the family after a month or whatever. And maybe you do, but my point is something like be okay with driving differently, driving at a different pace. So you stopped at a stoplight, you know, maybe your significant other graduates from college and you have to be where you're at. That doesn't mean you should drop out of your college to go to their job. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. But the point is, be okay with like driving on this access road with a certain driving style. Okay, that's my analogy. All right, but back to Augustine. So Augustine will say in his book, creatively titled On Marriage, that marriage friendships have a certain kind of uniqueness to them. They're unique in a variety of ways, and in their unsurprising ways. But Augustine will say, marriage is unique among friendships because it has these three goods, these three unique features or aspects. That is, marriage has a unique commitment, that is, you're called to be faithful. It has a unique productivity or procreation, we're called to be fruitful. And it has a unique, he'll call it sacramental, I'm going to say figurative, right? Figures point to something else. Red octagons point to an action that you're called to do as a figure for something else. It's figurative, okay? So I think if we're thinking theologically about dating, and dating is a friendship designed to be oriented towards the friendship of marriage, then dating has similar but not identical goods, okay? These are not identical. Marriage and dating don't have identical goods, identical aspects, but they're related because dating is a friendship oriented toward the friendship of marriage. You with me? Okay. And they are these three. So we're going to walk through these three, and within each, I will tell you just one story from my dating history. I will not take any questions about them or tell a fourth one. Okay, first is faithfulness, and faithfulness is the foundation of marriage in Scripture, and God uses this image of a husband and wife in a variety of places. So Ephesians 5, Ezekiel 6, Hosea with Gomer, Revelation 21, Song of Songs, and the point is, each of these times, God is, I think, pointing fundamentally to the faithfulness that he has for his people, like a spouse, a good spouse, and sometimes the unfaithfulness that his people have toward him, like a bad spouse. Okay, and I think this demonstrates, at least in part, that faithfulness is the foundation for a marriage in terms of commitment, but I think faithfulness is also the foundation for a dating relationship in terms of it's the fundamental priority. It's the fundamental feature of a dating relationship, which means the main criterion for looking for a date is not, are they hot? It's not, do we have a lot in common? It is not, do we have the same hobbies? The fundamental question, I think, ought to be, are they faithful? And am I the kind of person that is faithful as well? We are tempted to think, especially in terms of personality, like we have, we're aligned, our personalities are similar. And we use language like looking for the one or my other half. Like there's one person that will even say this, complete me, right? She completes me. I have a few theological problems with that. One is you actually just made that person about you. Like you just made your entire relationship about what good that person does for you, which is a fairly selfish decision, I think. And secondly, the language of one and half and completion does not come from a Christian idea, I don't think. I spent about an hour reading Plato because, and that, this, again, this is what I do for preparation for a dating talk, read Plato. Plato says Aristophanes actually has this idea of humans originally being designed by the gods as people with four arms and four legs. And Zeus, is sort of like to spite them, cuts them in half. So then these half people walk around looking for the one who will complete them, looking for their other half. Okay? Your one is not a Christian idea. It's a Aristophanian Greek idea. I don't think Plato agrees with it. That's why I spent an hour reading about it. But the point is something like we're not rooted in does their personality, do they complete me, right? Do we mesh? We're rooted in are they fundamentally a faithful person to the Lord, to me? Can they be faithful to me? Can I be faithful to them, etc.? One example in my life is I grew up in a dating culture at public school where the foundation of a relationship was your emotions. Like, I feel these things. And we even would say, like, we sing songs. I lost that loving feeling, right? We sing songs about, like, falling out of love. I don't have this feeling anymore. And when you're in high school, that feeling kind of comes and goes with every other week. And so I thought relationships, dating relationships, were based on sort of like heightened head-over-heels feeling that you have for one another. However, when I started dating my now wife, 4 days in, she is frustrated with me. And I'm like, oh no. 4 days in, she lost that feeling and we're going to break up. Wow. Failure. And she was frustrated, right? I'm surprised I lasted that long. So is Vicky. I thought that was self-deprecating, I think. But the point is something like I thought we were gonna break up. I thought she lost this feeling. We're gonna break up. And she articulates her frustration, and then she says to me, like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm worried that we're gonna break up. And she's like, no, like, I'm here for this. Like, I think you are the kind of person that is faithful, can be faithful, and I wanna be faithful to you. And I don't think you're perfect. I think you are flawed, and I think you have all sorts of issues, obviously. However, I'm here for this. Like, I'm here to like work things out. I'm here to grow in Jesus together. And that demonstrated to me the good of faithfulness. And secondly, I think faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, and is a Christian virtue, which means a couple things. For one, it means those of you that are dating and might be dating in the future, my question for you is, are you becoming the kind of person who is faithful? If you want to be dating, are you becoming the kind of person who would make a good boyfriend, good girlfriend? Are you becoming the kind of person, and good here is defined, remember, fundamentally in terms of faithfulness. Are you becoming faithful? And remember, faithfulness is for the Spirit, which comes through abiding in Jesus. And secondly, I think this helps us discern whom we should be dating and how our dating is going. Because you can fake kindness, right? Kindness is the main criterion. You can fake it, though, for a while. A friend of mine says that a narcissist, someone who's like totally self-absorbed, can actually fool someone for up to 7 months. So you can trick someone for a while, but faithfulness is the kind of long-term thing that you can't trick someone into believing about you for very long, at least. And so I think this gives us some sense of like getting to know someone in the long term, in the sort of like long term sense, and I think it allows us to incorporate others into our dating process, right? If the foundation of your emotions or a foundation of your dating is just your emotions, then only you can tell you how your emotions are going, right? So you should be the only one that you ask. However, if the foundation of dating is faithfulness, then other people in their life and in your life and in your collective lives can tell you, and you should ask them, how they think your relationship would go or is going, right? Do you think, mentor, friend of mine, this person is the kind of person that I should be dating? Are they the kind of faithful person that I should be dating? Am I in a place where I can be faithful to this person? And maybe something I should have said before this is, I don't just mean not cheat on someone. I mean, are they faithful in character, which includes lots of other relationships also, right? Are they faithful in considering you in your dating relationship, but are they faithful to their families? Are they faithful to their friends? Are they faithful to their commitments, right? Faithfulness is not something that is perfect in anyone besides Jesus, but it is itself the kind of thing that's formed in us and it applies broadly. You with me? Okay. Second category is fruitfulness. Now, in marriage, this is obviously fundamentally, I think, referring to, or Augustine thinks, fundamentally referring to having kids. So marriages are designed for you to have kids. Now, I don't think, remember, marriage and dating are not identical. So I think being fruitful multiplying means for everyone, but especially for people who are dating, not just or not at all being fruitful in terms of biological fruitfulness, but in terms of making disciples. Is your dating relationship making disciples? Are you being fruitful and multiplying in terms of making disciples in one another and in those around you? So there should be a kind of relational or spiritual fruit, I think, of your dating relationship that is beneficial to others around you. So your dating relationship, if it's going well, should, I think, be beneficial for your friends and your family. They should think it's beneficial for them also. They should say, I'm better off because you are dating so-and-so, which I don't think happens very often, to some of our shames, including mine. And I'll illustrate, though, with this story from my then-girlfriend, now-wife. We were going to go on a date to a movie. I forget what movie it was. But my now sister-in-law, my wife's sister, finds out we're going to go to this movie. And she's like, oh, I really want to go. And my wife is nicer than I am. And so she invites her. She invites her sister. And then once one sister finds out, when you have multiple sisters, the other sisters want to go. So then it turns into Ty and his girlfriend Kate and all of her sisters. And then my sisters find out, and they find out that her sisters are going, and they're like, why can't I go? And I'm like, I guess you can come. And then once the sisters start getting invited, I guess we got to invite the brothers. And so my wife has 9 brothers, and so several of them got invited. And I have a brother, and then... I think we were at Applebee's or something, and I run into some friends of mine from school, and I'm like, hey, we're going to a movie. You want to come? And they did. And so we filled an entire movie row at the theater. And this is a compliment to my wife, because I think in that moment, our relationship was fruitful, was beneficial to other people in a very obvious physical way, embodied way. And then the second sense in which I mean this is there's a fruitfulness that if your dating relationship is oriented towards marriage, I think it's valuable to consider fruitfulness in a procreation sort of sense, because one of my favorite questions for people who are unsure if they're dating the right person or if they're dating someone they should be, again, right person sounds like the one. I'm trying to avoid that language, so I repent. The question I think is helpful is, would you like to A, have kids with this person? And B, would you be excited if your kids turned into this person? And if no, apply the brakes. Find an exit. If you are not thrilled if your future children would turn into this person, then I'm not saying don't ever marry them. I'm not saying don't necessarily break up with them right away, but have lots of concerns because something is crossed. You have some crossed wires somewhere. And then I think last thing on this, if faithfulness is the foundation, if this question about fruitfulness is valuable, and if you are excited about your future kids turning into this person, and if you're still discontent, like if this person is faithful, and again, not perfectly, but generally by character faithful, and you're still discontent, I worry that we have expectations that are unhealthy, expectations that are setting ourselves up for present and future failure. That is, we expect something of someone else. We expect them to complete us. And when they fail, because they will fail to do that, then we blame them. But they're being, in general, by character, faithful. They're, in general, by character, the kind of person you want your kids to turn into. And so the problem is probably not with them. The problem is probably with you. The question is something like, what are your expectations for your future husband or wife, your present boyfriend or girlfriend? And are those fair or just expectations? And how can we talk through what those should be? Okay, figurative, Augustine calls this the sacramental sense. That is, God designs marriage, again, think Ephesians 5, to depict or represent something more fundamental than marriage. Marriage will end in death till death do us part, or the return of Jesus. We will not be married or given in marriage in the resurrection. Marriage ends, okay? Which means its job is not to be the ultimate destination. It's not the goal. Jesus, love never fails. Love never ends. Divine love never ends. That is the thing that a married relationship is pointing to. And if you're anything like me, I grew up in a church culture that prioritized or elevated marriage in such a way that you arrived. You were designed to be married to one person, and once you got there, that was it. Like, that was what you were designed for. And this is, I think, especially true for some females. Like, your goal in life is to be a wife and mom. I've heard people say explicitly that. And I think being a wife and mom is a great thing. I think being a husband and dad is a great thing. So what Augustine will say is something like, marriage is a good thing because God made it. God made it, and God makes good things. But marriage is not the ultimate thing. Marriage is designed to ultimately point to Christ and the church, point to divine love. Okay. I think likewise, dating is designed to point beyond itself to Jesus, such that we should be, in our dating relationships, pointing one another to Jesus. Am I being drawn toward Jesus in this dating relationship? Is our dating relationship collectively pointing others to Jesus in terms of spiritual fruitfulness? And then the question of, am I trying to, or am I expecting this dating relationship to fulfill me? Is this the sort of like goal of life? And I think if dating and marriage are good but not ultimate things, then the answer is obviously no. The answer is obviously no. And so let's turn to John chapter 20. And to illustrate this, I'm going to tell you a story. And this story is not about my now wife. The story is about an ex-girlfriend of mine that my kids don't know, so. Here's the tea table is set. I never use that. I don't actually. That's probably a poor use of that phrase. But, So I met my ex-girlfriend when I was 8 years old, and from the age of eight, for the next 10 years, I thought she was the coolest. I thought she was the prettiest. I thought she was the most amazing, and my life would be complete if we would get married and then get married. And then we dated. And I still thought she was the prettiest and the coolest and the best. But then she cheated on me with my best friend. Sad. And I found out one night, again, no, you can ask questions about this. But I found out at night, and then I go to sleep, and I actually found out, and it was like compassionate and forgiving and kind. But then I woke up, And I was so angry. I was furious. I was like crying and sad and just sobbing, but then also just like, I'm just going to punch someone. That'll make me feel better. And then I was like, okay, well, I probably should read my Bible because that's what I should do. And I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of like 2 Chronicles and that's really not going to do much for me today. I know that's not true. I'm just being honest. And so I'm like, oh, I'll go read the crucifixion story. And I get through, I'm like starting whatever in John 18. And I start reading and I'm like, okay, great. Jesus died for me. But like, I still have a broken heart and I'm very angry. And I keep reading and I like wasn't even sure why. I was like, I'm just going to go fume and be angry and go find something to break. But then I kept reading and I'm in John 20. Verse 11. Let's start verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And in that moment, in this morning of being fuming mad, the words of Jesus to Mary, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? In the KJV, it's, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? The Lord is like, Ty, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Are you seeking a girlfriend? Are you seeking a wife? Do you think that will make you happy? Do you think that will complete you? Jesus is standing right there and says to her, Mary, like you're looking in all the wrong places. Like it's been me the whole time. And ask her, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Are you seeking this person, this relationship that will supposedly fulfill you, supposedly complete you? Or are you seeking Jesus, who will complete you, who will satisfy you? Augustine says, God made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in him. So in summary, marriage and dating have these kinds of goods designed to be faithful, fruitful, and figurative, committed to one another, rooted in faithfulness, productive, fruitful in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, and in discipleship, and figurative, pointing to something better, pointing to the one who does complete us, that is Jesus, and is an access road, dating in itself an access road to marriage. So, thanks a lot. Are we done?
Let's give it up for Ty Rizzle again. While our panelists get up here, I'll tell a quick story. So last year, I was like a month into being a program director, and so Dr. Brown got me to come talk about the BACM to the Roots class. And I had a student lunch afterwards, and so I go to lunch with a student afterwards, and I was like, you know, I've been on the job for like a month, so I was like, how do you feel like that went? She looked at me and she whispered, I can't believe you said the word sex in front of Dr. Brown. So I feel like we're kindred spirits.
Yes.
We have both said the word sex in front of Dr. Brown at this point. Okay. So I wanted to start off. I thought I'm now very interested in what Augustine says about singleness, you know, just looking ahead. But I'm interested in this idea of faithfulness because I feel like this is one of those things where, you know, I've been around a lot of people who are dating or whatever, and it's really like this struggle because on the one hand, Like, you want to be the kind of person that if you did get married, you'd be successful in marriage. But on the other hand, maybe there are these red flags. I've known some people who, like, somebody does anything and they're hitting the eject button immediately. Mm-hmm. But I've known other people who overlook a lot of things. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this really what you want to be? You know, like, and they're like, oh, but you know, forgiveness and like commitment and all of this. I'm like, don't commit to that. Yeah. You know? And so I'm wondering for all of us, you know, what, how y'all think about that? Like, in terms of dating, like, how you deal with red flags, or just like, was it a bad day, or, you know, those kind of things.
Is this on?
Yeah, no, like when he was, what did you say? Like, if it's somebody that you wouldn't want your kids to grow up to be like, and he said, like, maybe you should break it off. And I was,
I said, maybe
there,
today.
And I was back there and I was like, no, yeah, you should break it off. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, and I'm like a mom to like 20 year olds. And so I'm more on the, yeah, if he lies to you once, yeah, break it off. There's more fish in the sea. See, so I'm kind of more on that end of if there's red flags, then I think you should get out. So
yeah, that's kind
I don't
of
know.
Where I am.
That may not be the answer you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's things that are indicating to you that somebody is unfaithful, and a lot of us, you're like, that's, they cheat on you, mm-hmm. but lying, sneaking around, just in general unfaithfulness. But I like the way you
worded it. Or even prioritizing
it.
Like other things
yeah.
that are, that should be a lower priority.
Yeah.
But I think also in addition to that, I've known people where they're like, well, he's nice to me or she's good around me. And one of my things too is like, I think we should be like really slow to even get into dating to begin with, just so you know the other person. Like, it's not just how they treat you, it's how they treat everybody else. Because when you get in marriage, they're going to treat you the way they treat everybody else eventually. You know, it's kind of your narcissist thing. Like, if you're dating, like, some people are just really good at dating.
Right.
But if they're really bad with everybody else, then they're going to be bad with you at some point.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of faithfulness, I would think it's not just my faithfulness to someone else. Like it's a reciprocal faithfulness in the dating process. Like you're looking for faithfulness in someone else also. And there are, I would say defining red flags in terms of faithfulness is really important to me though. Like the red flag should not be, oh, well, she doesn't have a vacation house or she doesn't ski. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah.
So what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, skiing can be important to some people, I guess. Yeah. Basically, you do you. Okay, so we got a couple of Discord questions. First one, I'm just going to knock out really quickly. There's no real discussion on this. It says, Gilmore Girls question, Dean, Logan, or Jess, and why? Jess, and obviously. Yeah. Okay. Second, tell us crazy dating stories.
Well, I'm clearly the best at exiting on the panel. So, oh goodness. I told this one to my students in the 8 o'clock about red flags. And yeah, back when Christian Mingle was an app that I took to mean actually Christian, which is my bad. That I actually went on a first date with someone who proceeded to tell me that the girl he had met on Christian Mingle prior to me was pregnant, his baby, and asked if that would be a problem. And when I said yes, I exited, eject, called me judgmental, and then left the restaurant and stuck me with the bill.
Classic.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's not the story I thought you were going to go for. Your sister, what was the story your sister was telling me about? You got hit like in the back with a beanbag. Like, I was really going more for like a lowest common denominator story.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. There is that one as well. The The latest serious one, one of the red flags was I would consider to be a respect issue, which we haven't kind of talked about like by name, but yes, yeah, my sister and I and a good friend of mine who had come into town were taking a picture, and he thought it would be hilarious to absolutely just throw with all of his might a beanbag at me while we were taking the photo. And so I actually have photographic evidence of the beanbag hitting me because I've like, In the photo, yes, yeah. And he thought that was absolutely hilarious. And so not just like the event itself, but his reaction. And that's when I started realizing, oh, wait a minute, like his actions are telling me something. I should pay attention to this.
Yeah, I think that's figurative right there.
Yeah.
One of the things I was interested in with Augustine, which I guess this is just Augustine, is like you've got all these Fs, but there's no fun. And I feel like also, you know, just as an optional, like you should have fun with the person too. Like, yeah. It, you know, you could be figurative and faithful and whatever the other F is.
Yeah.
It really should be another letter. But it's very
tied to have this be all Fs.
It is. It's very, yes. I'll let that settle. That's the most Wednesday joke we've had.
I think like 50% of the folks got it though.
Yeah. Okay. So, but also I think, you know, yeah. I would say too, is there anything else y'all would add? Like, I think we all agree that, you know, generally all of these are good things, but you kind of have to be situational. But is there something else that like you think is really important to the relationship you had looking back or have had relationships you've had?
I think I would say I wholeheartedly agree that fun should be included. And the way I would say is, the reason I would say that is because fun is included in every friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Every friendship should be characterized by
friendship's
fun.
Friendship's also an F word.
Right. Yeah. I was
it's
trying.
It's not that one.
I didn't just like think of this yesterday. Yeah. it was on Friday.
Another F word.
and so I think I would say, like, are you friends? Like, are you friends with this person?
Yeah.
Funding your relationship on friendship is really valuable.
I think one of the, I made the Kahoot, and I think one of the questions I didn't put on there was like, there was a percentage of people who got married and they said they were friends first. Mm-hmm. And it was a really high percentage. I want like 75% or something like that.
Yeah. I want to jump in on that because that was the case for me. Like, I knew Danielle for a couple of years beforehand, and I'm just like, super slow on this kind of thing. But like, I think the media in the last probably about 20 years ago have made it so that you have two categories, like potential people to date, maybe even marry, mm-hmm. and then friends. Mm-hmm. And that's like the dumbest thing that Hollywood has put out there. Like, friends make great people to date. Like, if you like somebody, it doesn't mean every one of your friends, but like, you already know, you know the person, you can see how they treat other people, you already get along, you know, so. End of rant.
I never know how to work these things. I really kind of liked how you framed the discussion, especially how Augustine framed the discussion, whoever, because it really kind of moves like dating into this realm. Like, if you're working on being faithful and you're looking for someone who's faithful, like, it's not like your end goal is to find someone to date. Does that make sense? And so, like, your end goal is to be faithful and to have fun and to have friendships.
And to testify to Jesus.
Yes.
To figuratively testify to Jesus.
And so it's not like we're not all, like, our purpose is not to find a boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah. Our purpose is these other things. And so then that, I liked just how the framework of talking about it, so.
One of my favorite books that I've given out to several of my female students over the years, I realize Elizabeth Elliot is problematic in some senses, but her Path of Loneliness, because her first two husbands die, the first one obviously very tragically, and she calls her book The Path of Loneliness because she talks about how lonely she was in each of her marriages, because her first marriage is very young, and then realizing absolutely this, that only God. Because, right, have you ever been surrounded by a crowd of people and realizing that loneliness is still there? that's really the best representation of this. So surrounding yourself by a person or people really is not going to fulfill that ache, right? That void, noise doesn't, TV, phone, all of these things. And I love her depiction of that, to be on her third husband and to realize that they have wonderful gifts and talents and abilities and they were God-given marriages, but there is still, right, that ache that exists that you really have to work this way, not this way.
Yeah, I think that's really true too. We'll talk about that next week. About singleness as well. No, for sure. I think these are related in that. Like marriage or dating, there are problems. I've been around so many single people and they'll say, well, I want to get married because it's like a solution to a perceived problem they have. But for every one of those people, I can give you a marriage that has the problem they think that dating and marriage will solve. Like I know married people who are lonely and I know married people who have like any other of these things that dating marriage solves. Dating marriage doesn't solve anything. It's just a way to get somebody into your life and like build something over time with that person in that specific, unique, you know, figurative, fun, faithful,
fruitful
way. There you go. There you go. Yeah. So let's give it up one more time for Dr. Keyser. And we will see you in six days, 23 hours.